Good morning. Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. Egypt's President Hosni Mubarak this morning opened a last-ditch Arab summit to deal with Iraq's conquest of Kuwait. But as CBS News correspondent Bill McLaughlin reports, it may already be too late for Arab leaders to bargain their way out of this crisis.
The emergency Arab summit in Cairo has finally gotten underway. That's the good news. The bad news is that all they decided so far is to go to lunch, and that anyway, it may have already failed. Even before the delegates began arriving at the conference center in a Cairo suburb, Iraqi Foreign Minister Tariq Aziz held a defiant news conference. Speaking for his leader, Iraqi strongman Saddam Hussein, who was not here, Tariq Aziz said he hadn't come here to make a deal. Kuwait, he said, was the property of Iraq. Instead of criticizing Iraq, he said, the Arab summit should devote itself to ordering the U.S. out of Saudi Arabia. And the Iraqi foreign minister added that there was no Iraqi threat to the Saudis. Observers here say moderate Arab leaders like Egypt's Mubarak may try to use this stubborn defiance to isolate Iraq and back Western efforts to force the Iraqis out of Kuwait. Bill McLaughlin, CBS News, Cairo.
President Bush, in a letter to Congress this morning under the War Powers Act, said hostilities with Iraq are not imminent. He said U.S. forces will remain as long as they're needed to maintain Saudi Arabia's security. Crisis or not, President Bush today begins his annual summer vacation at Kennebunkport, Maine. The White House says he'll stay fully abreast of events in the Gulf. In Brussels this morning, NATO leaders stopped short of taking collective military action in the Gulf, but they did endorse the deployment of U.S. troops and the growing multinational naval force. And they warned Saddam Hussein that if he threatens alliance member Turkey, he'll be taking on all of NATO. Secretary of State James Baker said he was fully satisfied with NATO's stand.
Given the central importance of Gulf oil to the global economy, we all share an interest in thwarting Iraq's menacing and unlimited ambitions.
As Iraq continues beefing up its more than 120,000-man occupation army in Kuwait, it also menaces thousands of foreigners under its control. Alan Pizzi has that from Amman.
With Iraqi borders sealed to all but diplomats, attention is now focused on how to get several thousand foreigners, including an estimated 500 Americans, out of the country. Iraq has ordered embassies in Kuwait to close down within 2 weeks and either leave or move their operations to Baghdad. The reasoning is that Kuwait is now, according to Baghdad, part of Iraq. The Baghdad government has canceled its multi-billion dollar debt to Kuwait. Arab contract workers who managed to leave Kuwait by way of Iraq and Jordan spoke of a still unsettled situation with sporadic sniping and food shortages. Saudi Arabia's King Fahad told his nation the Iraqi invasion was, in his words, the most horrible aggression the Arab nation has known in its modern history. Alan Pizzi, CBS News, Amman.
This is Jim Stewart at the Pentagon. By all accounts, the rapid deployment of U.S. troops to the Persian Gulf appears to be going smoothly this morning, with no major delays or accidents, although the movement is straining U.S. airlift capabilities to the limits. Later today, a third wave of American F-16 fighter aircraft will get underway from Shaw Air Force Base, South Carolina, to Saudi Arabia, joining the first of what is expected to be a total of 50,000 American troops in place. Jim Stewart, CBS News, the Pentagon.
There are reports that U.S. troop strength in Saudi Arabia may reach 250,000 and that a multinational naval blockade of Iraq could soon begin. That quarter million troop figure is termed preposterous by one Bush administration spokesman. European Community foreign ministers meeting in Brussels have voiced grave concern about the thousands of foreigners being barred from leaving Iraq and occupied Kuwait. James Calvin was coaching Kuwait's national basketball team when the Iraqis rolled in. He and his wife, Phyllis, made a perilous dash to Saudi Arabia. The Calvins arrived back in San Antonio early today, and James Calvin recalled a harrowing moment on their drive out of Kuwait.
We're starting to panic now. We're driving in the middle of the desert. All of a sudden, the police escort pulls over off the road, probably 10 meters, and we're thinking we're going to be executed. And the gentleman just had to go to the bathroom.
The Calvin's son, Kelly, was on hand to meet them.
I'm the happiest person in the world right now. I'm glad to see them. I'm glad that they're alive. It was a time that I thought they weren't alive.
Many Americans share those kinds of fears this morning. Jerry Ogle is waiting in Jacksboro, Texas, for news of his stepfather, one of 38 Americans being forced to stay in Baghdad's Rashid Hotel. Ogle now thinks he's a hostage.
Yeah, I think the same thing, because they said he's free to roam inside the hotel, but that's it. So I think he's still hostage too. Because if he wasn't, that I figured that, he would be set free and would get to come home.
That's the sound of destruction as wildfires continue to burn in central Oregon near a town called Burns. Those fires have blackened more than 100,000 acres and destroyed 22 homes. Raging wildfires have forced the closing of Yosemite National Park, at least until Sunday. About 10,000 people were essentially trapped in the park overnight because the main roads leading in and out were closed. The little mountain towns of El Portal and Foresta were threatened, and El Portal's 500 residents were evacuated. More than two dozen buildings, including an historical structure and some houses, were lost to the flames. Newsman Bruce Bernhardt of CBS Radio's Los Angeles station KNX is at Yosemite.
This is the first time in recent memory the entire Yosemite National Park has been evacuated, and it comes during what traditionally is the busiest weekend of the year in what has been one of the busiest years ever. Yosemite is celebrating its 100th anniversary this year. Now, there is no danger to the hotels, campgrounds, and other main tourist destinations in Yosemite Valley itself. The fire is about 16 miles to the west. But they're concerned about two things. Because the highways to Yosemite are closed, all of them, supply trucks cannot get through. Yosemite Park and Curry Company, which operates the park, has only about a two-day food supply on hand. And there's also concern because of all the smoke, medical emergencies might arise, and getting medical help would be difficult because of the road closures.
Overall in the West, firefighters are battling more than 1,000 wildfires. In Pakistan, leaders of former Prime Minister Benazir Bhutto's party met today to discuss whether to challenge in the Supreme Court President Khan's decree dismissing her government. Bhutto was accused at the time of nepotism and corruption. The Magellan space probe goes after a touch of Venus today. In about an hour, it will fire a braking rocket for a radar mapping pass at the cloud-covered planet. We won't see the pictures, though, for several weeks. New allegations this morning on former New York Yankees owner George Steinbrenner. The sports newspaper The National and The New York Times report Steinbrenner used friends in the FBI to get information from the National Crime Computer on his employees and on gambler Howard Spira. The FBI is investigating. Clashes in Peru between security forces and rioters killed three people yesterday. The riots followed introduction of a drastic economic austerity plan that lifted price controls and sent the cost of gasoline skyrocketing. Muslim rebels who tried to overthrow the government of Trinidad and Tobago last month have been charged with treason, murder, and other offenses. If found guilty, they could be hanged. The dollar is higher overseas. London gold is also up at $388.75 an ounce. And on Wall Street, the Dow Industrial Average is down 12.38 at 2746.53. It's 10 past 7.